Hey there, and welcome to Hey Jorge, where we start and facilitate conversations between underrepresented intersectional voices. I'm Jorge Olivares of HeyJorge.com, and I'm really excited to welcome to the program today Sheila Carrasco. Now, Sheila is somebody who has done the work. When you talk about people who have been able to achieve certain academic achievements, she's gone to NYU, has done the Harvard route, so many different cool things that I wish, and we will get into over the course of our chat. But I love that Sheila is a performer who's now putting her talents to the test for this particular section that's coming up for IAMA Theater's online company. Well, for the company, they're doing this online presentation with a lot of different plays, and Sheila's play is going to be one of them. It's called Anyone But Me. And I think a lot of us have gone through these whole things, especially if you're a person of color, like imposter syndrome, when you feel like you are somebody who you're not necessarily are, or who you just, all the different masks we put on in the course of a day in order to feel like we need to conquer the day. And so I'm interested to talk about, obviously, the background story of the play, because this is the first time she's putting together something like this. And I can only imagine the difficulties of doing that at a time when we can't physically be in a lot of spaces. And as a performer, I'm sure it's difficult not being able to play off of people in the flesh. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about background. We'll talk about Latinidad. Because Sheila is half Chilean Mapuche, and I actually didn't know what that was until right before our conversation. So I wanted to have like a little cool, cute history lesson about that. But yeah, thank you so much, Sheila, for joining me to talk about your work and to talk about your journey as an artist.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about the identity first, because I think that is so crucial to understanding, one, the journey that you've put yourself on as a performer, as a comedian. But also just kind of to get a better sense as to who we're going to learn from over the next half hour. So what does it mean to be half Chilean Mapuche?
Well, it means that, first of all, my dad is from Chile. He's from southern Chile in the mountains, very rural indigenous area. And we are of Mapuche heritage from there. He's from a town called Curacautín, which is a Mapudungun word for basically river runs through it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so the Mapuche culture is very ingrained in our family. It's very ingrained in Chilean culture, not necessarily in Santiago. And I feel like it's important to mention that for anyone that is kind of has been to South America, you can kind of have a very different experience depending on where you go. And lately, I've come to the realization that I want to claim that more and let people know that I'm of Mapuche heritage, because I'm really proud of it. And the Mapuche people are still alive and thriving and are fighting for land right now in southern Chile. And I want to do what I can to let people know about them and us.
I think there's something really beautiful when those of us who come from marginalized communities wear it as a badge of honor. Where, you know, and I think pretty much all of the bios that I have out there on the internet, they all say Tejano, they say Mexican-American. They have my, particularly my ethnicity attached to what I do, because I really do feel like it's, if you want to know something about me, the first thing I can easily tell you is that this is the culture in which I was born. Yeah. So I appreciate that you're also making a concerted effort to let people know right off the bat that this is who you are, that this is the background that you have, and that this is the wonderful history that is now presented to us.
Absolutely. And I feel it's important to count it as one of the many things that I am, because I am half white American. And I think in the last year, I'm learning more about what Latinidad means. And also my responsibility as being someone who is white and Latino, to recognize the fact that I do benefit from white privilege. And at the same time, I can still explore my identity as being half Chilean and, you know, honor my dad's legacy and what his experience has been coming to this country and continues to be. I think it's just very nuanced for me, my identity. And so I love talking about it, because I'm still kind of figuring out the language of it all too. I've been exploring, or I've been reading a lot lately about Latinidad and kind of deconstructing the idea of that in terms of in America, how we claim it, particularly white Latinos. And so anyway, it's something I could talk about all day right now.
Yeah, no, and I think it's such a fascinating talk for those of us who exist within the hyphen, right? When we are these hyphenated Americans, Chilean American, Mexican American, Dominican American, Italian American, whatever it would be, there's that journey of the duality, right? Where we understand that sometimes we're more on one side, more on the other, but yet they still inform each other in the way that they go about our lives. And I'm curious if that's kind of the root of where we find this play, Anyone But Me, because of the dualities, because of this idea that sometimes we're so confused, we have such a richness behind us that there's a confusion kind of tied to that about who are we meant to be? Who are we right now? And how are we presenting to the world?
Absolutely. Particularly in the TV and film industry right now in Hollywood as well. Because I think who I am in the world and in an American context is probably, I mean, you can see me, but the listeners can't, probably as a white woman, right? But then in Hollywood, there's this idea that if you're half or you have a Latino last name, like you are Latina, you go full in on that, right? And I just want to be careful about, you know, I would never say that I'm BIPOC, for instance. I might not even say that I'm a woman of color, but I would absolutely say that I'm Latina. And so what does that mean? It's just very specific to each individual person. And so my show does explore that. I have a lot of characters that, well, in my point of view, all the characters that I do are Latina. They just might not have an accent and they might not have a Spanish name because that also exists. But I have one character that's like a white Latina, and she's interviewing to be the vice president of diversity, promotion, and inclusion for a company. And kind of the language of like that interview and like the gray areas of like what is okay to say and maybe what she shouldn't say. And then also I have a character that's an immigrant mom that's from Chile that's based on my dad. And so it's kind of exploring all those different elements of my identity and things that I've been through in my life and different, as you said earlier, like badges that I've worn depending on my context. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the nature of the show and what people could expect, because I love that there are different characters. I love that there's a lot of tapping into your history, tapping into who you are, your identity, to kind of craft who these people are. So just share with our listeners a little bit about what they could even come to expect once this starts on March 21st through the April 18th showing.
So with my show, it's definitely, it's a one woman show, but I don't speak to the audience and narrate. I don't start out by saying, hi, I'm from, I was born, you know, this is where I grew up and this is what I've been through. But I kind of show that through a variety of characters. When I am a theater, and Margot Susie, the artistic director, one of the artistic directors came to me and said, hey, we're going to do a year of just solo shows and record them in a theater. And we had been talking the last year about creating something together and me possibly doing a bunch of characters as a show. My first thought was, great, I'll do a bunch of characters and wigs because I have a sketch comedy background and I'll make people laugh. I'll do like 3 minutes of each character in and out, you know, and they'll be their own self-contained things. And I took a step back and I was like, that's interesting. Why was my first go-to like, I'll just wear a bunch of wigs and play a bunch of characters and just, you know, do things that don't necessarily have anything to do with me? Because this is theater. This is going to be a play. So as with all theater and a play, it usually has a theme and a universal message that everyone can relate to after experiencing it, which sketch comedy doesn't necessarily do. And also it's a solo show. So there's no way somebody's going to watch it and not come away thinking it's about you. You know, they're coming to be like, yeah, I'm coming to watch a solo show that is personal. That's about one person's point of view. And so I was like, why was that my first instinct to kind of hide myself and cover up? That's interesting. And so I thought about, well, what do I want to talk about? What do I want to say? And there were so many different things going on in my mind. I am half Chilean. I'm a child of an immigrant. And that in itself is a very specific upbringing in this country. I'm also the child of a white woman from the South who my grandfather had a third grade education and worked in assembly line at General Mills, and very hardworking, salt of the earth, really, not very privileged people, and what that instilled in me, the work ethic from both of my parents, pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of mentality. Also being an actor, what that experience has been like, different things like that. And so I kind of pulled together a theme, which was about identity and really the personas we kind of cling to kind of shape our personality, to say, I'm from a hardworking blue collar, middle America family. We don't complain, kind of thing. That's one way to showcase your personality in a way and cling to it. And then with that, the negative side of stoicism in a way, which is that like, you're not as emotionally available. Sometimes you, have a hard time expressing yourself, and what I've seen from that side of my family. And then other identities as well. And so I just decided to start writing a bunch of different characters that are all from different, wildly different places, experiencing different things, and really like what it is they're trying to get by wearing a certain mask. And so I pulled together all of these characters into an hour-long show, basically. And within each character, even though they're all very, very different, I have written from a very personal place. Each character has something specific to me and my experience, either from, a story from a family member or something that happened to me in high school. And it's really an exploration, basically, for me of my own identity and some of the insecurities I've had. And so it's my way of very carefully saying, I'm talking about myself here, and this is very personal to me, and this is my way of being vulnerable while still using the medium that I prefer and love, which is to do characters and to do comedy. So I really tried to meld sketch and theater together in that way.
I can imagine that, like, in order to do a one-woman show for an audience, for the world to be able to consume, you have to be able to perform that one woman show for yourself first to see, is this true to who I am? Is this true to my art? Is this true to my talents? And is this exactly what I just see myself as being before I allow others to chime in with their own thoughts about who that person actually is? And I can imagine like just the mechanics of putting together a tight hour about all these things, right? Writing from these different perspectives, putting on these different characters, dressing or presenting in a way that is reminiscent of each of those characters. Like, that must be such an insane amount of work. but I can also imagine how gratifying it is, because it's all leading to that end moment where it's like, ta-da, this is me.
Yeah.
This is me.
Absolutely, it is. And I love that work. I love writing from character and point of view and all of that. But it is very strange to get personal with it and to know that people will know that it's personal, because I've done a lot of character work and performances in the past, and characters based on myself without having to really say it was based on myself. So there is definitely more vulnerability in writing something specifically as a solo show, because you know that people are gonna come with certain expectations and insights. And it is also difficult to write something and share it and get notes on it in a way, you know, from
like, hey, this part where you bring up something that might be really crucial to how you've gotten to this point in your life. Yeah, I don't think we need that. It's like,
right. No, I know. It's true. It's actually funny though, because my director, Margot Susie, she's amazing. She from the get-go was really just in on my writing and really supportive and believed in it and was like, actually, I think we can go further here. So what's that really about? And really pushed me to go further into my own stuff and unpack it. And I was the one that was like, let's cut it. I don't like it anymore. Let's cut it. We cut a whole character a week before the show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I loved this character, but it just thematically didn't completely tie in. And it felt like we'd kind of covered a character a little similarly to it. So we just didn't need it. And in a way, it's funny. When I can kind of remove myself from it and go like, yeah, well, do we need it? Actually, I think we should cut it. Like, I'm a little more comfortable in that chair, which says a lot about me too, like kind of pushing away like the connection, the emotional connection mm-hmm. to things.
No, because it's so much easier to, instead of it being Sheila's life, it is this particular character that was created to embody one aspect of Sheila's life, if that. Mm-hmm. So there's a level of removal that is actually comforting and cathartic, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Oh, totally. There's one character, I won't say which, that is mostly dramatic and is very personal to me and hard to talk about, and something I've actually not really talked about with family or friends. And that was probably the most interesting experience for me to work on. And it was really, that one was the one where I felt like I couldn't really remove myself from talking about it. Luckily, we didn't really end up cutting too many lines or anything, but even just the work, I would find myself, we'd be rehearsing it, and I'd find myself kind of being like, all right, well, I don't know that I want to go there, you know, because it's a lot to emotionally connect and go to that place where you're remembering certain things that happened to you. And it was just, it was the first time for me working on something personal where I had those feelings. And in a way, after now doing the show and producing it and shooting it and getting ready to show it to people, I want to do more of that. Like, I want to make more theater that really truly is vulnerable and takes risks in those way. Because I think, this is kind of a tangent here, but I think in comedy, we talk a lot about taking risks and how important it is to put yourself out there and fail. Stand-up comedians talk about it all the time. They're like, oh, I took a risk. So I told a joke people don't like, right? So what? And that is important, but it's not very often that comedians put themselves out there emotionally, not necessarily to tell a joke and to say like, hey, this is something that happened to me and I want to talk about it. And so, it was just, it felt really, really cool to do. And I feel like, I want to do more of it. So sorry for the very vague.
No, not at all.
talking about.
I can imagine. I know a few people in the New York comedy scene who have done a one-person show before. And there's one in particular that I'm thinking about that is very emotional, gets into a lot of issues that are are universal, but still very much specific to the person who's performing it. And I think, you know, I wonder if it was me, if I was putting myself in that position, if I was talking about a very heavy subject, I don't know if I would ever develop the mechanic nature of, if you do it over and over again, I'm sure you've practiced this over and over again. It's mm-hmm. being produced to the best of its abilities. Like, it is a production, mm-hmm. and that production requires a lot of practice. But I'm curious, especially with this character that you're talking about, like, does it ever become more, like, are you ever allowing yourself to move past the emotion of that character and then just realizing like, hey, I've got, you know, 25 minutes left in this show that I have to continue doing or whatever it is. Does that make sense? Like, at some point you just run through the motions doing a show like this?
Yes. And you know what? So when we taped it on the final day, we only did two runs. We really wanted to tape my show as if it was theater and do it from beginning to end, no stopping, all the sound cues, lighting cues, you know, back to back, costume changes back to back. And on the day we finally shot it, after 5 weeks of rehearsal, and I'd done this character like every day and gone there emotionally, the first run, I just could not connect. I was like, I was what you just described. I was going, okay, so I hit that mark. I found my light. I said the lines, you know, that's the rhythm I want. You know, all those things were kind of going off in my head because it was showtime and I just had to focus. And I had to do a little work to get there for the second run. And it was so interesting because I hadn't had that problem all the while leading up to it. And then something happened on the day we were taping and I was like, damn it, Sheila, come on. Oh my gosh. But yeah, that totally happened with that character. And that's something that happens a lot as a theater artist, particularly in the longer run of a show and a play. You can kind of get to that place. And the work for me is always about trying to figure out how to stay in the moment and connect and know that your body and your voice is all going to hit all the little logistical things you have to do. And you're going to know, okay, I have 25 minutes left. I have to conserve or whatever, while at the same time being truly connected emotionally and just trying to live in it. Some people that comes easier to. For me, it's, I just have to remind myself a lot, like, okay, breathe, connect, really listen, all of those things.
Something you've talked about a couple times in the course of this, and it only makes sense because you do mention all the different characters that are included in Anyone But Me. But if you're coming from a sketch background, an ensemble background, kind of playing off of each other and using each other to feed maybe performance decisions, here it's just you. Granted, you might be using other characters to feed how the other characters respond in the course of the run. But how difficult is that when you might be so used to, because this is your first solo show, correct?
Yes.
Like to kind of go with reckless abandon and doing something where it's like, it's just Sheila and there's no one to like yes and with.
Oh, it's so hard. Oh my gosh. So not only are you your own scene partner for an hour straight, so you're in all of your silences, you're filling in the blanks of what the person you just said something to is going to say back, so that you can truly try to respond in an authentic way. You also have no audience. We had people in the room, but they weren't allowed to react on filming day, you know, because that would take you out of it if you heard like two people laughing. Mm-hmm. And also they had seen it all week. So I knew I wasn't performing for fresh eyes, which also does something to you mentally. So it was just so hard to stay. And that might've been what contributed to that first run, not feeling as connected and feeling very like by the book. Okay. I hit all my marks. It's a real mental trick to stay in it for a full hour and try to be funny, you know, try to land the comedy of it all. Not to say that drama would be easier, but I think it would be easier.
Like in the grand scheme of things, yeah, it would be much easier to do that.
Yeah, with comedy, you want to feel like you're building all the time. And you want to feel like, okay, I got that laugh. I'm going to chase that laugh. They like what I did there with my hand, you know, the gesture. So I'm going to do that two more times. You're not necessarily thinking that, but you're responding to it instinctively. And so to not have that, and to still feel like people at home are going to watch this and feel like they're in a live theater so that they're experiencing you at your best is a real challenge. And I have so much respect for solo show performers. Oh my gosh, for just the real endurance and stamina that it takes to do these shows. I don't know if you're familiar with Drew Drogi.
Yes.
Yes.
He's doing a show about being his friend.
Yes. Happy Birthday, Doug, and Bold Colors and Bright Colors and Bold Patterns.
Yeah, I just know that Drew Drogi he's directing a play from another queer comedian.
Oh, yes. Making Friends.
Ran. Yes.
Yes. That's also with Iama. Yeah. Yes. So we filmed it the exact same way. And Drew actually taught me at the Groundlings years ago, but I've been following his solo show work. And then there's other artists like Sarah Jones and everything who really, they just they're pros at it at this point. And it's just another level to me of artistry that I'm really excited to work on and try to get better at.
I'm curious about when you put something like this together, are you mindful of the possibility of your family seeing, like, are you somebody who cares if your family sees? Are you the first one to send them the link to see it? Like, how, because you did mention that there were certain aspects that were very difficult. Mm-hmm. Are you open about your art in that particular way?
That is a great question, Jorge. I am, and I'm working on being more open about it. For me, doing comedy out here in LA, up until this pandemic, it's been really easy to not share it because my parents and family don't live in California. They live all over. And I'm the youngest of four. And they're all extremely supportive, wonderfully supportive. If I sent them the link, they would definitely watch. But there's definitely been certain things that I've been like, oh my God, I hope my parents don't see this because it's like raunchy, or it's a side of myself that I don't necessarily always show to my parents because I want them to think that I'm a good kid, you know, that I don't curse. I don't talk about sex. you know, I'm married and I'm also a virgin, all those things. And it's also because my dad is a Methodist minister. And I grew up as a preacher's kid. And so being a preacher's kid and then also a liberal and an artist in LA is a really interesting experience. And also something that contributes to kind of a weird issues with self-identity, you know, and saying that, yeah, I'm a comedian, I'm an artist, but I'm also, you know, going to go to church on Easter Sunday. I don't, but I say I do. And that's not to say that they have those expectations of me either. Like they're not, it's, my parents are not like super religious or have ever put pressure on us to be a certain way. It's just my own kind of way of protecting like my little bubbles. And so for this, I'm really proud of it and I definitely want them to see it. And there is something personal to be one of the characters that I haven't really talked about with them yet from when I was younger and a kid. And so that'll be interesting.
But it's part of what you need to do, right? Whether they see it or not, whether they see it in the particular light in which you want them to see it or not, the expression needed to have happen. Yes. And thankfully it did happen. I kind of want to end by asking about this idea of who is it in your life, whether it is a family member, a friend, maybe even the person who helped you direct this one woman show. Like whose reaction is the one that you're most excited to hear about, hear, see? Who's that person and what is the reaction that you really enjoy hearing from them?
Huh. Probably my parents. Yeah, I think for this in particular, I think it's been a hard year too, being away from them and worrying about their health. And in general, it's put me in a very different kind of place than I would be in normal times. But because it's personal, because two of the characters are very close to my actual parents, because I talk about certain things that are very personal to my teenage years, I'm excited to talk about it with them and I really want to make them proud at the end of the day. And I think I've come to terms with also like, as an artist, at the end of the day, and as just a person trying to make their way in the world and be successful, I really just want my parents to be proud of me, like anyone else, like so many people. That's what it comes down to. And so this kind of show, yeah, I'm excited to see what they think.
Oh, I love that. Well, I do want to remind our listeners that, again, you can watch the play. It's called Anyone But Me. It is written and performed by Sheila Carrasco. And it's going to be virtually available with the IAMA Theater Company. You can watch it online starting from March 21st. It's going to run through April 18th. And for people who are just curious about either one, getting updates about the show beforehand or just following your work, how can they go about doing that?
Well, you can follow me at Sheila Tabasco on Instagram. I actually got off Twitter last year, a while ago, because I just wasn't good at it. And I was like, I never go here. And when I do, I start feeling bad about the world.
And it could be a pretty insane cesspool of just horrible takes.
Absolutely. And, you know, TikTok is the same. So no, I'm kidding. TikTok is great. I'm just not good at that either. So yeah, follow me on Instagram and then definitely check out the website at iamatheater.com for information on the show. I'm really excited to share it with people. And it's for the most part very funny and also hopefully gets really real and everyone can relate to it. And yeah, let me know what you think.
Yay. Well, thank you again for joining me for having this really emotionally honest conversation about identity and the people that we choose to be in this world.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It's been wonderful to talk to you.